T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Oh, the party raged last night at State Farm Arena. Zion. Rick Hamill, Randy McMichael, he's in for John Michaels today. And look at it this way, ladies and gentlemen, on the home of the Hawks. We won the Zion Bowl last night, didn't we? We kind of sort of walked away a little bit better in the Zion sweepstakes. But, hey, Randy, so me and Charity partied hard last night, went to Bistro Nico, had a blast. I'm going to do some shout-outs of some great people over there in a minute. But it seems like all of Atlanta partied their face off last night because the roads were empty coming to work.
Yes.
Were they that way for you? I was like, where is everybody? It was like a zombie apocalypse. It's a Friday.
Yes, it was. Everything was fine until I got to the damn parking deck again. And I'm like, I don't know where I'm at. I'm on the blue level, but don't know where I'm at over there. So I got to do the typical, you know, you hit the panic button.
Yeah.
Hear your car alarm.
And then you find your truck or car.
Exactly.
What do you drive?
Like that, you know me, man. I'm a bourbon man. Suburban.
Yeah. Do you find a Suburban to be a little unwieldy here in the parking lot of Colony Square?
A little bit, yeah. But especially when you go to where you turn in and you think that you see those parking spaces. But it's a dead end.
Yeah.
You're trying to back out of that thing.
Yeah.
I held up traffic a little bit this morning. like 3 cars had to back up behind me so I can get my truck turned around to go back out.
I love it, man. I got to give some shout-outs. Charity and I dined at Bistro Nico last night. Not the first time that we have been there, but it's extraordinary, and that's why we went back. Huge shout-out to Ryan. He's a deadhead. We talked to him. His first dead show was in 88. My first dead show was in 86. Big shout-out to Ryan. Huge shout out to Sam. He's the general manager of Bistro Nico. Tremendous dude. He said he's a Falcons fan for 40 years. And these guys are huge fans of Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Nico came over, introduced himself as well. Nico, it was great to meet you and our waitress, or a server, I guess you should say. Sherry was 10 out of 10. And you know, she was just phenomenal. Absolutely. But you expect that from Bistro Nico. Unbelievable food, unbelievable service, unbelievable atmosphere. So a huge, huge triple and quadruple shout out to Bistro Nico, man. What did you and Donna do last night, bro?
We went to the movies. Went to the place over in Snellville, the dine-in type restaurant.
Snellville? Why'd you go over there?
Because it was one of the dine-in places where you sit and eat and watch the movie and everything.
Why'd you? I'm tripping. You live kind of out there, right?
No, I live in Lilburn.
Okay. What movie did you guys see?
We went to see What Men Want.
That looks funny.
The one with Mel Gibson. It was pretty good. It was pretty funny, actually. I enjoyed the movie. It's funny because it's filmed here in Atlanta, so you saw one of the scenes had Colony Square in the movie.
No way.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's pretty
with
cool.
The construction or without the construction?
No, they just had the side of the building. Yeah, nah, it wasn't a lot of construction. But, no, it was a good movie. I had some few laughs. She enjoyed it, so that was the most important thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's about it, man.
Mm-hmm. Have you seen A Star Is Born?
I have not, but I was waiting for it on demand so I can rent it. I ain't paying for it, so I think it's what's the movie with the We Were Rocky people?
Bohemian Rhapsody.
Bohemian Rhapsody.
Have you seen that?
It's rented. I can rent it now on demand, so we'll probably sit down tonight and watch it.
I love it. Charity and I watched that on Sunday.
Uh-huh.
Bohemian Rhapsody. Great movie.
Okay.
Yeah. Great movie.
We've been trying to watch it, but like on demand. It's been, you got to buy it. I'm not buying it. Now I can rent it for $5.99.
There you go. We kind of, we lost patience and just went ahead and watched it. But I'm just saying, A Star Is Born and Bohemian Rhapsody, you're going to love them both.
Okay.
You're going to love them both. I think you're going to enjoy A Star Is Born a little bit more.
Okay.
It's a better movie. It's a better historical biography, you know, with the Queen story and all that. But just in terms of like a knock your socks off drama. With tears at the end and the whole thing, A Star Is Born.
I'm telling you when you need to watch, Rick. Teddy Pendergrass. They had a biopic on Teddy. A biography on Teddy P on Showtime. Unbelievable.
Cool. Duly noted, man. I've got to throw John before we get in here. I got to throw John Furke under the bus real quick.
What do you do now?
So I'm coming. You know, last night he was talking Valentine's Day. I'm taking the real estate maven out for pizza, and of course, you know, Daryl and Arthur and Huge jumped all over him for that. And I said, you know, how was the pizza last night? He's like, I had a slice. What do you mean you had a slice? Of course you had a slice. You went to a pizza joint with your wife on Valentine's Day. He's like, I had a slice. What is your problem with pizza? Ah, I'm not that big of a fan of pizza. Who's not that big of a fan of pizza?
I mean, I like...
That's like saying, I'm not that big of a fan of oxygen. Yeah, I could take or leave oxygen. It's pizza. Doesn't everybody love pizza?
I mean, I'll eat it only when the kids eat it. Like, I won't go out my way to buy pizza, or if I'm home by myself, I won't order a pizza. But if the kids eat it, then I'll sit there and eat it. But I don't go out my way to buy pizza.
So you look at pizza as kid food?
No, I didn't
like
say
pirate
that.
Booty?
I didn't say that. I said that's the only time I eat it.
I understand.
Yeah. I don't ever really just crave pizza like because I ate it so much in college. And, you know, being single, you know, that was a quick meal real quick.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
We had to deal with Pizza Hut. So they would just, you know.
Uh-huh.
But now I'm just, you know.
Okay. M.O. and P.B., man, happy belated Valentine's Day. I hope you guys had a great time with your lovely wives. Are you meh on pizza, like these weirdos?
Put me and Randy in the same category. If it's there, I'll get it. But again, I don't go out of my way to order it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Preacher man. Do you get excited about pizza, or are you meh about pizza?
I enjoy pizza. Thursday night is pizza night at the Bible House for the boys. And usually, back in the day when the wife was on the road, the boys would eat half the pizza, and I would eat the other half. So I'm fine with pizza.
I'll get two slices probably.
Uh-huh.
I'll get one when it comes out, and then I might get up the next day and microwave the one, and I'm good.
See, but it's got to be a special occasion too, because I'm going to go to the pizza joint, Zucker Blue Moon, and I'm going to get barbecue chicken pizza with caramelized onions and mushrooms. I'm not going out of my way to get a slice of pepperoni pizza. You can do that anywhere. If I'm going to do pizza, I'm going to do it right, and I'm going to do it big time.
I like it, man. Preach, man, you guys have fun last night with your lovely wives?
Yeah, nice evening. Very quiet. I went to see some live music, and that was about it.
Live music?
Yeah.
Where?
I'm not even getting into it.
What are you talking about?
Because I wasn't.
Where were you at?
It wasn't my choice of music, so I'm.
I love live music. What I have liked the live.
No, you would not. I can tell you that right now. I was ready to go home. I purposely made her buy tickets in the back of the venue in case I fell asleep.
I love it.
That's
love
what's
it.
Up.
What the is going on?
The sports world never stops. So if you missed anything, Rick and John are here to tell you what's up.
What's up, Holmes?
All right, let's dive in, man, on the home of the Falcons. So this news literally just hit, I don't know, 20 minutes ago. The Falcons have informed Brian Poole that they will not tender him, and he will now be a free agent on March 13th. We are going to talk a lot more about this at 10:20, and for the rest of this hour, we're going to take calls as well, because with all of these departures, I've told you that it feels a little panicky to me. Feels a little overreactionary to me. You have an injury-plagued 7-9 season, and let's blow it up. And I just feel like too much is going on right now. I feel like it's a slippery slope for us. More details on that, but Randy, you know, give me your first blush here about us saying goodbye to Brian Poole.
Well, I mean, Brian Poole came on the scene because he was forced into action as a rookie, undrafted, into the nickel position, played well during the Super Bowl run. Play kind of digressed a little bit, but he was still a pretty good player at that corner position. Great blitzer. That's where you love him. Needs to lift his head up a little bit more so we don't get some of those head-to-head penalties. But I'm not surprised by this, especially with the emergence of KZ, because you got to put him on the field. That young man deserves to be on the football field. Dan Quinn came out and said, you know, my two safeties are going to be Ricardo and Keanu. We're going to move KZ to nickel. Well, he's going to be your starting nickel now because this young man has to be on the field 100%.
Again, more on this coming up. And big shout-out to Hugh Douglas. We're going to be doing this throughout the day. Going into the Black College Hall of Fame. And, you know, it's unbelievable. He had 80 sacks in college and for a very, very small school and beat the odds as an underdog to be as good and as paid as he was in the NFL. But we all love it. It's universal, man, over here. We love Hugh Douglas, just a phenomenal dude, great broadcaster, and we're really happy for
him. I'm so excited for the big fella, man, because, like you say, a guy that's coming from a small school that he came from and to be able to produce like he did in the NFL and be an all-pro player, Pro Bowl player, and a beloved, and I'm talking about they love him in Philly, and you know how hard it is to be loved in that city, to be one of those beloved players, and he's just such a good dude, man.
No doubt, such man. A good dude. No doubt, and but he really embodies that Philly persona of just being, you know, tough and nasty and mean and the bully mentality. And, boy, he certainly was that and then some on the football field. Let's talk Hawks. I think a lot of people are, how in the heck does this happen to – they didn't get blown out, but they got beat handily, okay? The Knicks had him at arm's length the entire game. Randy, I think this was a trap game. I think that you had John Collins, you had Trae Young looking ahead to obviously a star-studded weekend in Charlotte. They'll be playing in the Rising Stars Challenge tonight on TNT. And I think you had a lot of other guys, you know, as they left the huddle, 1, 2, 3, Cancun. I really think that's what went on because talent-wise, we are way more talented than the New York Knicks.
Yeah, it goes. You're coming off of a big home win against the Lakers. And I mean, even though the Lakers aren't that good, LeBron James is on that team. I hear people saying Trae Young, when you drove by LeBron, is that a career, you know, did that mean you arrived? I'm like, dude, come on. I mean, really? I mean, LeBron don't play no defense anyway. But back to this game, I mean, you look at the whole thing. I mean, John Collins had 8 points. I mean, Dedmon had 21. I mean, it was more or less, I think if the Lakers were this game, they'd have played a lot better. I just think coming off of that win, and then so your first All-Star break, and you get ready for the festivities, I think that had a lot to do with it.
You know, just following this NBA game as I have and as Randy have. Randy, tell me if you've noticed this as well. A lot of times, and think about it, TNT had one game last night. They did not rock their typical Thursday doubleheader, and here's why. A lot of times, most of the time, these Thursday night games suck.
Yeah.
Because one team, like, comes with it, the other team is drifty. It's just, it's a very spotty day in the schedule. Now, if the Hawks had played the Knicks on Wednesday, and I get it, second of a back-to-back, but if the Hawks had played the Knicks on Wednesday, they put out a better effort.
Yeah.
But in that sort of there were only three games last
night.
And
you saw the Pelicans.
So most of the league was already turned the page to All-Star break. Oh, crap, we got to go out and play one more game.
Yes.
And there's sort of an absent-minded syndrome going on with that Thursday game.
The Pelicans beat
Thunder.
The Thunder yesterday. Just beat them down, too.
And Davis got hurt and left early, and they still beat them.
And they still beat them. And Paul George, I think he went 3-for-17 from three. Russ had 44, another triple-double. But, yeah, you're right. These guys are ready to go up to Charlotte. The other guys ready to go to Cancun because this is the longest break they're going to get to the offseason. So, yeah, we're not worried about it, but you hate to lose. I mean, 18 games in a row, and they. Yeah.
I felt good for David Fizdale. He was like,
me too.
At the end of that game, oh my God, so good to get a win. And Fizz is a great dude. All right, we know the pitchers and catchers for our Braves are reporting tomorrow. More on that coming up. Also, the Atlanta Legends are going to be playing against the San Diego Fleet. Both teams 0-1, but next. Brian Poole is gone. Keith Armstrong, Marquand Manuel, Steve Sarkisian, Matt Bryant, Brooks Reed, Robert Alford. Are we overreacting? Are we panicking? That's next on the home of the Falcons, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
Snap to Winston. Falcons bringing four. Winston with time for Godwin. Batted up, deflected, intercepted. Brian Poole in the end zone.
Wes Durham on the call right here on the Falcons Radio Network. And a highlight for Brian Poole. I appreciate when Brian Poole, like, removes the football soul from a quarterback like Aaron Rodgers in the NFC Championship game. Brian Poole, heavy hitter, will not be a Falcon in 2019, most likely because our Falcons have informed him they will not tender him, and he will be a free agent on March 13th. Rick Hamlin and Randy McMichael in for John Michaels. He and I will be back on Tuesday. We have Monday off for President's Day. Nice long weekend. Hopefully a lot of you have a nice long weekend as well. So, Randy, at Super Bowl Radio Row, we interviewed Brian Poole.
Right.
And we brought up, you know, the free agency and all that kind of stuff. And Brian was short and sweet with his response and basically said, that's why I have an agent to handle that.
Correct.
And so reading between the which was all fine. I'm not sinking his battleship about anything. But the vibe that I and John got was I may be back, I may not. I'm going to the highest bidder. But I didn't feel an anchor to the team from him.
Correct.
He kind of already felt like a free agent.
Mm-hmm.
Like maybe he already saw the writing on the wall. Maybe the team had already, you know, given him some kind of message, some kind of feeling that he might not be back. But I got a distant feeling from Brian Poole in terms of his future with the Falcons when we interviewed him. And now, roughly 2 weeks later, Randy, we find out that his Falcons days are most likely done.
Well, you look at where he was coming in. He was a restricted free agent. And, you know, they could tender him or they could not tender him like they did and let him be a free agent. When you're at a point like that in your career and you're still young as he is, you got to have that mindset that I might be a free agent. I was reading something that Von McClure just tweeted out. It says the sources tell him that the Falcons would like to bring Brian Poole back, but just not at the restricted free agent tender amount. Low-level tender projected to be just over $2 million. So, I mean.
So, help me out. I'm a little fuzzy after last night.
So, basically.
They're saying they don't want to pay $2 million for Brian Poole?
Yes.
Why would you say that?
Why?
Does Brian Poole for $2 million sounds fine to me?
Well, if you this is the thing. Who do you think, and we'll have callers and whatever later on, who do you think will be a better fit at that nickel position? Because you're not going to play a dime corner $2 million.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? You're not going to pay him $2 million to be your fourth corner.
All right.
You know, and I think KZ.
I'll take your word for it on that.
I mean, you don't.
That seems like peanuts to me, but you're saying that just the regular economics of the league, and that's too much.
You don't pay a dime corner, okay. Four corner, $2 million.
I stand corrected then.
No, you don't do that. That's not good business. You know, you would like to shift that somewhere else. Now, if you could find a way.
Can we bring back Matt Bryant with that money?
If they want to bring him back.
Can we bring back Matt Bryant?
I mean, there's no reason to bring back Matt Bryant.
What are you talking about?
He's gone. They're not going to bring him back.
Do you agree with the Falcons saying goodbye to Matt Bryant?
No, I don't agree with it, but I understand it.
Okay.
It's business.
I think it's bad business.
I don't. I think it's business. I would love him for him to be here, but, you know.
Do you trust Giorgio Tavecchio to make 85 to 90% of his kicks next year?
You better trust him because he's your kicker now.
Why? But you better trust him, and do I trust him are two different
You're
things.
You're absolutely correct. Do you trust him? How do you not know? Because did he kick bad when he was when he?
No, he was fantastic.
Brian? Exactly.
But
and they saw that.
Small sample.
They saw that, and then what else do you look at nowadays? The price tag. That's. I mean, this is a. It's becoming me and he were talking about in the bullpen. It's becoming a young man's game, and they saw enough in Tavecchio to say, you know what, let's go with the young guy. And
well, Matt Bryant talked about, you know, you can have outlooks and you can have opinions.
Yeah.
But then there's the production.
I agree.
He's saying, be careful what you wish for.
I 100% agree with Matt, but I'm a part of that. You got to understand the business of it. You can't take this personal no more. And that's what happens nowadays is you see athletes take it so personal. No, you take it as business. I learned that early in my career. All right, and I learned from a vet who got released. I'm all mad about him getting released. Like, young fella, it's a business.
Who was it?
A good friend of mine, Ed Perry. Ed Perry was the long snapper in Miami for a long time.
I was going to say, was he a tight end
yes,
as well?
Long time. I was, you know, he was my mentor, and I got so mad. Like, why y'all? And I went to Ed. Ed, hey, man, sit down. Don't be mad for me. It's a business. I'll be all right.
How long had he been in the league?
He was 8 years, and all of them with Miami. He was like the snapper for 8 years for Miami, and so yeah, I mean the. I hate it because I like Mac Bryant. Personally, he was a former teammate of mine, and he did a whole lot of things for the Falcons.
Where were you a teammate?
He was in Miami with me when Orlando Mari got hurt, and he came in and kicked for Orlando, and we were all like, damn, Orlando, let's keep this guy.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So he started with the Giants.
Right.
And then didn't he split a year with the Colts and the Dolphins?
I think it was us and – it might have been the Colts. It was us and somebody else.
And then he went to Tampa Bay.
Yes. It was us and somebody else.
Yeah,
It might have been the Colts. But
it's amazing how he bounced around and then found a home.
With that being said, I mean, he's a fan favorite. You kind of automatically knew you're going to have three when he came up. I mean, he was that clutch, all that. Won games, tied games. I get all that. It's a business. And that's how the Falcons are viewing it. I don't think they view it as he won't be as productive. I think they're saying we got this young guy that we think that can be as productive.
Yeah, and I think that's a very risky move. Rick Kamla and Randy Mack, he's in for John Michaels, and we're going to take calls on this because I have a question. Are we panicking? Are we being overreactionary? We finished 7-9, and we have gutted the coaching staff. We are saying goodbye to defensive players who have been a big part of the plan, and I get the business of the NFL. I get that the team is not going to be copy and pasted into 2019. Totally understand that. But we have said goodbye to Steve Sarkisian, Marquand Manuel, Keith Armstrong, Matt Bryant, Brooks Reed, Robert Alford, maybe Vic Beasley, maybe Ryan Schrader. Are we overreacting? Call us, 404-741-0929, 404-741-0929. It does reek of panicky a little bit.
I don't think so.
I think it reeks of panicky a little bit.
Why does it reek of panic?
Well, because I think there are guys on a hot seat, and they are trying to do whatever they can to make changes, to turn this thing around and save jobs.
Damn right.
Yeah, but sometimes there's change for the sake of making change, and sometimes there are good changes.
I agree with that, but my thing is that this NFL is always changing. Don't get caught up in the name of the players because they've been here so long. Look at it as, hey, we can probably improve in this area. I mean, there are guys that are out there that are better than some of the players that they got rid of. A lot of it was salary dumps, like Robert Alford. And you look at Brooks Reed and these guys, a lot of it was salary dump. They weren't performing at, you know, whatever their salary was. But, I mean, you can't get caught up in the fact that, okay, this guy has been here a long time and we got rid of him. It's a panic. No, it was time to make change in certain positions. And Dan knows that. Dan knows that even though they were 7-9, Andrew Riddle, all this stuff, he got to win next year. And that should be the expectation because this is a championship-rated team. So why not make changes?
Outside
of Marquon, all the other ones I don't have a problem with.
Okay, let's go down Marquon Manuel way. You tell me. Okay, so Dan Quinn wants to take play calling duties over on the defensive side of the ball.
Correct.
Bravo. I think you should have been doing that all along.
Right.
But why do you have to whack Marquon Manuel? Why can't you just say, yo, Marquon, great job. Love what you did, but I got to take this back. And we'll keep you as whatever coach, but why whack the guy?
But when you look at it, his contract was up. I think his contract was up. I don't think he was flat out fired up. And I look at it like this. I think when you read what Dan said about it, he wanted to call the defense and he wanted to give Marquon an opportunity to go call a defense somewhere else.
Well, but that's all. That also could be spin on, you know, you basically said goodbye to a guy. Your service is no longer required. But I really hope you do great in your next job.
I'm going to go with what he said. Because you do have situations like that where guys are coordinators. Guys do get their play calling ability taken away from them. Well, we say the same thing about Coach Bud. Why did Coach Bud have to lead the Hawks? Well, don't you think it was kind of, you know, a little slap in the face when you take the title of whatever he was? I mean, sometimes you can't come back from that when you used to make the certain decisions and they take it away from you. Who wants to sit and just sit there and be like, damn, that was my job one time? You know what I'm saying?
I get it. And I think a lot of us were like, wow, Coach Bud's president and coach, like 2 or 3 years in?
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. So a lot given very, very early. Let's bring in Aaron right here on the home of the Falcons, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Aaron, Rick Hamill, Randy McMichael, are we being overreactionary? Are we panicking here as Falcons in this offseason?
Hey, how's it going, guys? First off, I want to thank you for taking my call. I love the show.
Thank you.
I don't think we're being panicky at all, man. I do think a lot of the moves are, you know, shaker moves. I believe in Dan Quinn. I really do. I know a lot of people over the last couple of days have been saying they don't believe in Dan Quinn or believe in Kirby over Dan Quinn. I believe in Dan 100%. I do believe that Dan has inherited a lot of players that were here before him. And some of those players, not including Brian Poole, obviously, but some of those players have been, like, to me, just good enough players. So not going to call them mediocre because I love those players and what they've done for us, but it just hasn't been good enough. They've been good, but just not good enough all the time consistently. So I think we're trimming the fat. We're getting younger. We're going to get more experience. And we're going to get some more impact, dynamic players that are going to be able to do the things that we need to do on a consistent basis and that are hungry. You know what I mean? Some of those players have been here for a long time, maybe been consistent, maybe been not consistent, but that's what I'm looking for. Kind of, you know, just where they are. You know, like I said, I'm not taking anything against the guys, anything away from the guys that we have cut, Brooks Reed, you know, Ricardo Allen, Brian Poole looks like it's coming up to be. But I think those guys were guys that were good enough to play. Honestly, they're good NFL players, but they're just not the players that are going to get us over the top.
I mean, I agree with everything he's saying. I mean, sometimes change isn't bad. And I think, if you look at all the moves that the Falcons have made, the only one that I've seen any blowback or anything for is the Matt Bryant thing. It's because you love Matt Bryant. He's been your kicker for so long. He's made so many big kicks for you. But when you look at it, I mean, he's not the first player. It's always different when a fan favorite gets released and you don't know why. And then you look at the simple thing of the money-wise. I mean, it's only $2 million. I mean, how much? But maybe they're trying to move that money somewhere else. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean,
I don't want to say it's more important because Matt was so important to this squad.
Mm-hmm.
But you can get you can put money towards another more important position. That's what I'm saying. Like on the pass rusher.
Yeah.
Depth on the D-line.
Well, last year we lost, I don't know, a handful of games on a play here, a play there. And that could be a kick here, a kick there in 2019. Yeah. Hope it doesn't go down that way. Aaron, thank you for the call. We'll take more of them coming up here. 404-741-0929. Are we panicking here in this offseason? Are we being overreactionary to a 7-9 season? Rick Hamla, Randy Mack, right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
Sports Radio 92.9.
Spot, kick away, and the ball game is over and Atlanta wins.
Wes Durham on the call, and you know who hit the game-winning kick on that one. Matt Bryant, and he is gone. He will not be a Falcon probably ever again, and that makes me sad. And Preacher Man pointed out the behind the glass, the storied and circuitous career of one Matt Bryant as we welcome you back here to the home of the Falcons. Rick Hamler, Randy Mack in for John Michaels. In 2000, he was with the Iowa Barnstormers, then with the Giants, the New York Giants, then with the Berlin Thunder of NFL Europe, then with the Frankfurt Galaxy of NFL Europe. That was both in 2002. Then he was with Dallas, Randy. He was with four NFL teams in 2004 when he was your teammate with the Dolphins. He was also with the Cowboys, and he was with the Indianapolis Colts. He goes from a good stint, as you said, with the Dolphins, and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers said, that's our guy. He was there from 2005 to 2008, then went to the Florida Tuskers of the UFL.
Right.
Does that even ring a bell to you?
Not one bit.
Not I don't even know what the hell the United Football League. Florida Tuskers, in between the Buccaneers and our Falcons, where he was from 2009 to 2018. Eighth all-time in kicking percentage at about 86.2%. I just love the dude. It drives me nuts when people, he's just a kicker. No. He's not just a kicker.
No.
He's a great kicker.
Great.
He's an all-timer. He's top 10 all-time. All-time in percentage. And I hope Giorgio Tavecchio is the man. But we're asking the question, are we panicking in this offseason? We've said goodbye to Sark, Marco Emmanuel, Keith Armstrong, Matt Bryant, Brian Poole, Brooks Reed, Robert Alford, maybe more. And there's probably a couple of names that I'm forgetting here on this list. We'll go back to the phone lines in just a second. But, Randy, anything else you want to add here? Obviously, we got the news this morning that Brian Poole will not be tendered. He'll be a free agent on March 13th. Do you have anything to add, to sprinkle on this, or should we go to the phone?
This just looks like a move, like Dan said, that KZ's got to be on the football field. And right now, with this move, it moves him right to your nickel position, which is one of the most important positions because you're in the slot. You got all this space. You got to be able to blitz. You got to be able to tackle and run support, all that, which he does well. And I'm not saying that Poole didn't do that. I just look at it as – as great as good as Poole was, I thought, for the Falcons, he didn't create enough turnovers from that position. And I think that KZ will. And I think that's how the Falcons look at it.
Do you trust Isaiah Oliver in year two to be sturdy? You don't have to be a Pro Bowler. Can you just be sturdy and consistent and reliable?
He's going to have to be. He better be. That's all I can say. Because once Alford left, it moved him to the number two slot. It did. And then, now this moves KZ down to the three slot. Talked to D-Led a couple weeks ago on me and Chuckery's show, and we were talking, and I was asking, do you look at KZ, can he play the number two corner, can he play more outside? He does not think he's big enough to be out there, which, Dan likes bigger corners.
Yes, he does.
So, Isaiah, he better be ready.
So, with this idea that DeMonte KZ kicks down to the slot corner or the nickel corner, and we have a second-round pick invested in Isaiah Oliver.
That's the biggest thing, Rick. He's a second-round pick.
Yeah.
He should be starting.
You don't see Greedy Williams or DeAndre Baker being drafted by the Falcons in the first round at 14.
Well, Greedy's not going to be there at 14. I think Greedy will be the first corner pick. And, if Tampa doesn't take him, I think they're dumb because they need corners bad. Mm-hmm. He's the best corner in this draft. You look at Baker, I think he'd be a great fit for him at that position. But, again, he's not as big as the corners that Dan like. If you're taking a guy that high, you want him to be your starting outside corner, considering the fact you just drafted Isaiah last year in the second round. So I think you drafted Isaiah to be the starter. Because I think this Rocky move offered was something that was planned. I think that they looked at it as, hey, let's see if we can get away one more year. We got this young corner, and Isaiah. We know we can't get a true font because of the money aspect of it. Let's draft this kid. Let's see if Rocky can give us something. And then we'll move on from him because of the money, and then we'll put this kid into place.
And Randy's right with all of that. The Falcons, they probably kind of sort of knew when drafting Isaiah Oliver that he was going to be the dude here in 2019, Alford would be cut because Alford had a complete escape hatch in his contract.
Yes.
Like, this was the time to hit that escape hatch and get out without a prohibitive dead cap hit. So let's go to the phones here and bring in a couple of our great fans here on the home of the Falcons. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Let's go to JD. JD, what's up? Are we panicking here in this offseason?
Man, absolute no panic at all, man. I feel like you said, 3 years ago when they gave Alford, 2 years ago when they gave Alford the true front that money, they knew they couldn't keep both of them at that price.
Right.
So they've been planning along at that pace. Now, what happened was, if we won the Super Bowl this year, I think they planned on winning the Super Bowl this year. So it would look totally different if we would have won this year. So now it's a little different because this was coming in where we had to get rid of a lot of players. So now we're getting rid of a lot of players, and now we got to replace with value. We got to get value now. So, because we paid number two. And one thing I thought was interesting, that in the end of the press conference, Dan Thomas Dimitrov described our offense as expensive. If it's worth it, if something's worth it, you do not describe it as expensive. and I'm going. I'm listening.
All right, that's a good call right there by JD. Yeah. And do you agree with that? If you're totally happy with it, do you call it expensive?
Oh, of course not.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Yeah, of course not.
Aha. Uh-huh. So not. What you're saying is the reading between the lines is that we're not quite getting the bang for the buck.
Yeah. Uh-huh, that's how you look at it. I mean, are you surprised by
no, that? I hadn't thought of it that way.
Oh, okay.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, I'm 49, I'm well-read, I'm well-versed and all that kind of stuff, but there are still opportunities to enlighten your boy, and yeah, right there was
one. He was absolutely correct. He was right on the money. Right on the money. But it's about production. We know that. And we know it's about production, it's about money, because it's such a hard cap and this dead money and all this, because I'm not too sure. No, I'm 100% sure that if Trufant had a contract like an offer, he'd be gone too.
But yeah. If they had an out,
yeah, he'd be
which
gone
they don't.
They don't.
Okay, let me ask you this. They don't have an out on Devontae Freeman's contract.
Yeah.
And we are, depending on how you feel, we're either married to him or we're stuck with him. Okay, depending on where your lens is with Devontae Freeman. Do you think that if we had an out on Trufant and Freeman, that they would join this list of people we said bye-bye to?
Probably. But this is the thing. When you look at, you got to have a replacement for these guys. And would you, and this is, I'm asking you this question, would you prefer Freeman or Coleman?
Good question.
I prefer Freeman.
I prefer a healthy Devontae
Freeman. I think that's the one thing that you look at when you're talking about free is, where's his health at? I'm sure he's healthy because, I mean, he played football in so long, so I'm sure he's healthy. But I'm talking about all the things that happened, the concussion issue, all these things. Can he stay healthy?
Yeah.
Will he get those nicks? Because he's not a big back, and he runs like he's a big back. And everybody wants to, Free needs to change his style. Why does he need to change his style? That's the only style he knows. You see what I'm saying? That style is the reason he got to where he is, so you can't ask him to change. He makes you respect the whole play. Tev's a one hit and go get it. And to me, I like Tev a lot, and I'm sure somebody's going to pay him. He don't break enough tackles with me.
Mm-hmm.
Just, arm tackles bring him down. Or the turf monster.
Great call here by Randy McMichael. Look, we got people on the line. We also are slated to have Rex Chapman up next. Yes, the bouncy one, former NBA player, my buddy over at NBA TV. And he is retweeting these blocker charge videos that are the greatest thing in the world right now. So he has not gotten back to me. So either we're going to interview Rex or we're going to take more of your calls here on the Falcons. Are we panicking here in this offseason? We're the home of the Falcons. 92.9. We're the home of the Falcons Sports Radio 92.9. The game, man. We have said goodbye to Sark, Manuel, Keith Armstrong, Matt Bryant, Brian Poole, Brooks Reed, Robert Alford, maybe others. And I'm just wondering, are we panicking? Are we overreactionary here coming off a 7-9 season and making too many moves? Randy doesn't think so. I'm leaning towards, I feel like, well, let's put it this way. A lot of these moves make sense. The Marquand Manuel, to your point, Randy, Keith Armstrong, Matt Bryant said he was blown away by that. Obviously, I'm not content with Matt Bryant not being on this team anymore. So I feel like we've made probably two or three moves that didn't really need to be made.
As much as I love Matt Bryant as a kicker, good man also, great man. I never seen people up in arms by a damn kicker.
Randy, everybody talks about what a great man he is.
But
my point is,
lovely wife too. Yes,
that has, God bless him, that has nothing to do with my opinion about Matt Bryant.
Oh, I wouldn't say
if he were like a jerk,
and
walked down the street and knocked a lollipop out of the hand of a little boy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, if you were that guy, but he made every kick.
Then line him up.
Get him out there, 54. We need it for the win. Let's go.
But it
has nothing to do with how good of a guy he is.
I know,
Randy, how freaking important it is to have a kicker whose gear is in automatic. There's like three guys in the NFL.
I think of
Zerline, I think of Justin Tucker, and I think of Matt Bryant. You can't put Steven Gostkowski in that category.
We can't. But he gets more credit because of whose team he's on or whatever.
Got those rings.
Like I said, Matt Bryant is awesome. He's an amazing guy, clutch. He's a guy that, we called him Money Matt because we knew, hey, he's coming in, no problem. Can you trust him? Can you trust him at this age? Can you trust that if he's lined up for a 56-yard field goal that he won't hurt himself and be out three more weeks? Can you trust that? Because I heard you and John talking about it. I heard you talking about how many games he missed or whatever. But you saw what happened last year when he tried that long attempt and he hurt himself. Can you trust that won't happen again?
Here's the thing. No, I can't. But is do I waver on that trust more than I waver on my trust of Giorgio Tavecchio and the unknown of him kicking for 16 games?
But the thing with Tavecchio is we don't have to know that. Only person that has to know that is Dan. Dan made the move, so obviously Dan trusts him that, you know what, you're my guy. Okay, you're playing nine games in a dome. Maybe a couple more because I don't have the whole schedule in front of me. But right now you're talking about you're going to New Orleans, you got 8 home games here. So you're inside. He looks pretty good. I mean, he looked amazing when he filled in for Matt last season. You look at the money part of it, don't seem like it's a big deal. Mm-hmm. And it's not really that $2 million or whatever Matt was going to make was not going to sink the Falcons ship. I just think they wanted to go younger, and they looked at this young man as like, you know what? And then you look at the situation, does he kick off? You know what I'm saying?
Do you not have to Bosher
will still be the kickoff guy. Now, wherever Matt Bryant goes, they're talking about him going to Tampa and all this, and I think that's a perfect fit for him because of that. Do they have a kickoff special? Because Matt's not going to kick off. Matt's going to be your field goal kicker only. He's not kicking off. Mm-hmm. And then you look at it like this. What if something happens to Bosher? Can Tavecchio, can he punt in a pinch or all these things? You got to look at certain things. So, like I said, the move surprised me of Matt Bryant, but I'm not shocked by it.
It's Randy McMichael. It's Rick Kamla. And I want to circle back to Tavecchio in just a second. But Rob's been holding on the line. And Rob, we appreciate it. I'm not sure if the Rex Chapman thing is going to work out or not. We're efforting that. But we're going to stay on the Falcons here in the meantime. And you can be like Rob. Join the conversation. 404-741-0929. Rick Kamla, Randy McMichael. We won't bite. We will hear you. And we will then either sink your battleship or agree with you. Rob, what's up, dude?
Hey, just a quick question. Do you like Julio Jones and Grady Jarrett?
Uh-huh.
You think we should probably keep those guys around?
100%.
Moves like these are what you do to pay for those guys. You have to get players that their positional value isn't worth what you're paying them, or they're not meeting the expectations of what that positional value is. You get rid of those contracts first and try to keep around the people that are definitely earning their both positionally and through their efforts what you're paying them.
Hey, Rob, thank you for the call. Look, I totally get it, man.
I mean, that's what I said earlier. They're going to use that money. And it looks like a little amount of money, but they can go to something else.
I would not prioritize Matt Bryant as much as I trust him and enjoy his work. I would not prioritize him over Grady Jarrett or Julio Jones. So don't get it twisted. I I've said this all week, I would have trimmed the fat elsewhere. I would have found other ways, another position
like what?
to take that haircut.
Like what?
I don't know, defensive line?
Which one?
Randy, but I haven't thought like which, but I'm just saying, if I'm looking at the scope of our team and our roster,
right.
I would have looked at another, and again, I don't have that place for it. You know, letting go of Brian Poole. As you said, you're not going to pay a dime corner $2 million.
Correct.
Okay. Like,
but the
if
depth
that
issue.
Helps us keep a Matt Bryant, then I'm totally with
right.
it. And I'm not saying I don't like vehemently disagree with this Brian Poole move. I'm going with the flow of right. this Brian Poole move because of the intel that you have gleaned and many others have from DQ saying that Casey is going to kick down to our slot corner.
Yeah, and he's not even
our nickel corner. So then we don't need Poole as much.
And you're looking at where is he at? Maybe 660,000. So opposed to paying 660 for a player who, in your opinion, do you think Casey's a better player than Poole?
Yes.
Okay, so you're looking at that, and then you're saving over $1 million by not giving it to Poole. I mean, it's a win-win.
Yeah. No, I get it. I get the economics. I get the talent level and the moving guys around and all that kind of stuff. But I Rob, I don't have a great comeback to you. I haven't taken a super deep dive into the contract structure of every guy in this team. But I would have trimmed the fat somewhere else. That's just how I would have gone. Matt Bryant would have been, you know, it's like I would have there would have been like, nope, these guys are ours. We're not doing anything with them. And Matt Bryant would have been a part of that cluster.
It don't work like that in this business, though. And I get you. And he's been here long. He's been here so long because he was one of those guys. You know, this is our guy. He's untouchable like that, whatever. But then you remember last year when they gave him the extension. You're like, okay, you give them an extension. You think he's going to be here that long term. I think a lot of it, when that injury went down, I think Dan and Thomas looked at it as like, damn, what if this happens again? Because you can't keep two kickers. And they're comfortable with Tavecchio. You can't keep two kickers over an entire season. You can't take that roster spot up.
Okay, but here's the thing. Matt Bryan played 16 games the year before.
I get you.
And I'm pretty sure he played 16 the year before
that.
And
how many kickers did they have on the roster?
One.
Okay, now they're looking at it as like, if this guy gets hurt, we trust this young man. We don't want him to leave.
But my point is, I'm looking at that as an aberration. It's not like Matt Bryan is hurt every year. And the L.A. Rams constantly have Greg Zuerlein and his soft tissue injuries to worry about.
You're absolutely correct.
So they're going with the flow of it for the sake of an unbelievable kicker. Why don't we?
Because you look at Zuerlein.
Zuerlein's more injury prone than Matt Bryan.
I agree with that, but he's also younger, and he does more things than Matt Bryan does. He kicks off. He does more things. Are you going to keep two place kickers on this roster? No. So what they're doing is they look at it. We're comfortable enough with this guy to let him go, to let Matt Bryan go.
So, John and Jerome, I see you guys. We're going to get to you in just a second. I got to stay on Tavecchio here for just a second. He kicks ably for, I think it was three games. Matt missed three games, so maybe it was four for Tavecchio, whatever it was. He was terrific. However, no pressure at all. There is no pressure. It's like the backup quarterback coming in.
But this is
let me finish.
I got your pressure. Hold on. Your pressure thing is cool. How do you know if you don't put him in that? He hasn't been in those situations. Matt Bryan wasn't always this pressure. When he was put in a position, he was able to come through. Let's see what this young man can do when he's put in that
type
of situation.
And that's where I want to take this. So Tavecchio was fantastic last year. No pressure. Backup quarterback comes in for the starting quarterback. There's no pressure.
Right.
Okay? It's the most popular guy on the team, everything. And obviously we have Matt, and he's solid and all that. But for a lot of teams, that backup QB is, like me with the Atlanta Legends right now. Matt Sims? What are you talking about? Aaron Murray should be the guy. So he's the most popular guy on that team. Let's take it back to these Falcons and Giorgio Tavecchio. Randy, kickers are head cases, okay? Chris Boswell of the Pittsburgh Steelers got paid a year ago and was unbelievably bad this year for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Unbelievably shockingly bad.
He was.
Missing PATs, missing kicks. You want to talk about Cody Parkey missing a kick? Stop it. He was Hal freaking Groza, okay, compared to – you like that, don't you? He was Hal Groza compared to – I just lost my train of thought. To Boswell of Pittsburgh.
Boswell.
So – we don't know. Look, in all eyes, there is so much pressure on Tavecchio based on our appreciation and trust in Matt Bryant. And now you pull him out and you're putting Tavecchio in there. And so Falcons Nation, Rise Up Nation, is standing on the sidelines with their arms crossed and one toe tapping. See what you got, dude?
Yeah.
Because I wanted that other guy. So win me over. And so, Randy, I'm not rooting against Giorgio Tavecchio.
I'm not saying – I don't think you are.
Okay,
I know
like,
you're not.
He's our guy. I want us to win 12 games and win a Super Bowl next year. I hope Tavecchio makes every darn kick and makes the Pro Bowl. I will cheer for everything that he does. But we don't know if he is going to be able to meet the expectations. Because there are now big expectations for Giorgio Tavecchio.
Correct.
With us kicking Bryant to the curb, a eighth all-time in field goal percentage for this young guy. And kickers are head cases, so I just don't know if he's going to be mentally strong enough to hold up for 16 games.
You have to see. It's a wait and see with this young man. It really is, because as good as he cooked, kicked when he was filled in for Matt Bryan. You said it. It really wasn't a lot of pressure on him. I think that's always defines a great kicker is the pressure moment, not your percentage or whatever. What do you do at that moment when you need it to win or tie a game? That's what I always believe in kickers.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what Matt Bryan was. He's tested. He's been through those battles or whatever. And it's hard for me to say kicker's been through battles, but he's made those big time kicks. Can Tavecchio do it? They have the confidence that he can.
Yeah. I'm rooting for the guy, Georgie, the whole thing, man. So, well, let's take a couple calls here and keep it going, man. Are our beloved Falcons panicking here in the offseason with all of these moves, or do you get it? Do you like what we're doing here? John, let's bring you into the home of the Falcons. What's up, man? Rick Hamla, Randy McMichael. How you doing, John?
I'm doing great. So I was going to say something about the Falcons, but that smart aleck that just called in really ticked me off. He needs to quit talking to y'all like that and disrespecting y'all's opinions, as he thinks that he needs to get on the radio and be like that. He can get his own daggone radio station instead of calling in and wasting y'all's time and trying to make y'all look stupid.
I don't think.
John, thank you, brother. Thanks for taking our back, man. No, I was good with that previous call, too. But, John, man, that was great.
I appreciate it, my man.
Mark Owens, Paul Bobby, you like what John just came with right there?
I appreciate it.
It's like straight collar-on-collar crime that was unwarranted.
I appreciate that,
Preacher, man, you like that?
You know me, I always enjoy collar-on-collar crime.
Yeah, I appreciate it, man. I wasn't upset about it.
I love it.
But I appreciate it. But, yeah, we're spending too much time on kickers.
I need him to come to like.
I mean, I'm upset.
I'm
going to keep it 100
oh
with
my
you.
God,
we're spending too much time on
kickers.
Yeah,
we can move on.
I mean, please.
By the way, Rex Chapman got back to me, Preacher Man. He said, Rick, 3 exclamation marks. Bleep, man. I'm so sorry. I have a luncheon I forgot about completely. Can I make it up to you whenever? God, I'm sorry. He said, so sorry, man. I try to never do this. Look, Rex, I love you. We'll get you on next week to talk about these blocker charge videos and some hoops and that kind of thing. This just once again is another example. And I'm not getting shady here. I'm just pointing out a fact. Ball players are sketchy.
No, we're not.
And flaky.
No, we're not.
Maybe it's basketball players.
I think that might be it.
But I love these guys. He's my homie at NBA TV. I love me some Rex Chapman. But these ball players are flaky, man.
No.
They make a commitment, and then, you know, it gets to the moment of truth, and I got a luncheon. And this is not the first time this has happened.
It happens, though. Sometimes you don't know what you got coming up. It happens.
Y'all got busy lives, don't you?
No, not necessarily.
Put it on the calendar, Randy. Write it down.
I don't write stuff down. I have a bad habit of it. If it's not printed for me,
You're making Rick's case right now.
I have a great memory. Mm-hmm. I do. I can remember
like an elephant,
appointments.
Huh?
I can remember appointments and everything like that. So I never double book most of the time.
As he eye rolls here in the Kia Studios. Let's bring in Jerome, man. Jerome, we're just wondering, are our Falcons panicking here? We find out this morning they're saying goodbye to Brian Poole. He will not be tendered. He'll be a free agent on March 13th. What do you think, Jerome?
Wow. Well, first and foremost, good afternoon, fellas. I enjoyed the show.
Thank you.
I don't really like it. I mean, but we got Kazee for that, man. We have a chess piece in the secondary. But what I kind of want to allude to more than the players, I like what we're doing with the coaching staff, and I like the direction, and here's why. Me and Randy Mack share a mutual friend, good old Jonas Jennings.
My man, big bro.
Big bro. He mentored me growing up, you know, on the south side of College Park. We all know that's not the best side of town. But he always told us that veteran coaches are the lifeline of a roster. And I think when we went to that Super Bowl in Quinn's second year, he kind of got the big head. He kind of said, well, I don't need Richard Smith. I don't need Brian Cox. I don't need Shanahan. I can just insert my guys here and the train will keep rolling. And I think it didn't, and that's part of the reason why Vic Beasley's development has been stunning. I think Richard Smith had a template and a plan for him. If we use him like or train him the same way that I did Von Miller in Denver, we'll get the same improvement. Soon as that guy left, we seen a totally different Vic Beasley. Now, a lot of it falls on Vic, too. I'm not just saying that it falls solely on the coaching staff, but I like what we're doing. We have veteran guys at key positions that we need to develop people. I think Malarkey is going to help the tight ends as well as the offensive line. And I think defensively, like, you know, we're on the right course. We have to just trust the process. And I think Quinn finally realizes that he can't do it alone. He has to have coaches in place that he trusts and that the players trust and that they know every day they go to practice, they are going to leave practice a better player than what they came in.
Appreciate it, Jerome.
Thanks, man.
I know Coach Smith a lot, you know. He was quote unquote the defensive coordinator in Miami with us. He's all right. I mean, he's all right. You know, I mean, Dan's comfortable with him because Dan was on that staff and he knows him. He helped him. He didn't develop Von. All right, Von came in as a stone cold freak.
Yeah.
He came in as a stone cold freak. He all right. You know what I'm saying? Like, it wasn't a big deal that he was replaced by Dan Quinn when they won Super Bowl.
Yeah.
All right. Let's not give him too much credit. He aye.
That's Randy McMichael. He is loaded with opinions today and always is. Next is our college football cheat sheet. We are going to honor Hugh Douglas. He is going into the Black College Hall of Fame this weekend. Also, we have a debate. Which move is more transcending? Jeff Collins to Georgia Tech or Anthony Edwards to the Dog basketball program? It's next. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9TheGame.com. Yeah, man, the College Football Cheat Sheet is brought to you by R.S. Andrews. Keep cool. Get an R.S. Andrews Precision AC tune-up. Another way they make you smile at rsandrews.com. Here's the deal. We are going to shower Hugh Douglas with major praise, and we would like your help, either with that or a debate. What's the more transcending move, Jeff Collins to Georgia Tech or Anthony Edwards to UGA basketball? Go to at 92.9 The Game. Go to at Rick and John 929. Give us a follow. Give us a like across all the platforms. And then go to my personal account. You will see that poll up. Jeff Collins or Anthony Edwards. More transcending move for either program. And right now, and I'll give you the exact details in a minute. I checked it about 30 minutes ago. It was basically a coin flip, basically a 50-50 call. If you want your voice heard on that right now in the College Football Cheat Sheet, again, 404-741-0929. You can hang out with Rick and Randy for just a bit. Now, Hugh Douglas is going into the Black College Hall of Fame this weekend. He's a part of an illustrious class of 2019. Now, of course, some other members of the Black College Hall of Fame, Harold Carmichael, Walter Payton, Jerry Rice, Michael Strahan. Yep, they all went to HBCUs and obviously went on to great, great things in the NFL. Hugh Douglas at Central State, 32 sacks in three seasons, two-time NAIA Division I All-American, and a national champion. And obviously, Randy was a first-round pick, racked up a ton of sacks in the NFL, including 54 and a half with the Philadelphia Eagles, where he was at his best. Did perform in a Super Bowl, and it didn't go their way. But nevertheless, man, we love Hugh Douglas. Tremendous guy. I call him the Incredible Hulk because he still is. He could still lift this entire Kia Studios. But we love Hugh, and we're happy for him. And Hugh, big congratulations and cheers to you, my brother.
Congrats, big fella, man. It's a big deal, man. And it's an honor to be in this Hall of Fame because, like you said, it's a small school, but also, you know, the HBCU and how important it is to some players that, you know what, they can't get into the D1s because they got to go to these historically black schools or whatever. And I know that I've had the privilege to call the Celebration Bowl the last 2 years, and just the energy in that building when these schools are in there, it's unbelievable. Good for big homie. And that soundbite, it sounded like young Hugh Douglas, didn't it? It sounded like 26-year-old Hugh Douglas.
It sure did.
Yeah, it sounded real young.
Should we do the Hugh Douglas Week in Review and have a little fun at his expense as well?
You want to do that now or you want to wait till, yeah, you know what? Because we also have our traditional Week in Review coming up at 11:40.
That I'm not on.
A double Week in Review Friday.
That I'm not on.
Hit it. Hit it and quit it.
Oh, sorry. I had to pull it up. I just want to let you know, in honor of Hugh, he gets the Week in Review treatment, and you can hear this if you want to hear it again because it's really dumb. NitroOnTheGame.com. Sorry.
This ain't right. I don't know the word.
When I put that piece of meat in my mouth,
that was the tenderest meat that I have ever had. I stay out too late. Got nothing in my brain.
But you and Hugh are kind of on the same level. But are you messing with Hugh?
You got that bulk about him, though.
You got that thickness.
Yeah.
You got to taste the meat.
That's what people say. Mm-hmm. That's what people say.
The defensive stance is going to be a little more erect for Hugh. I would keep it a little bit more close. Keep the legs a little more close.
It was a meat explosion.
You know what today is?
My man.
National Grab Your Nuts Day. Did you grab these nuts? We got nuts.
I'm going to grab these nuts right here.
These nuts, man.
They feel good. Nuts. They're munchies. They actually look really good.
I was like, taste the meat. That's what people say. Mm-hmm. That's what people say.
And I got a little sensitive. Because the players on the play, play.
Hugh, we love you, man. And Mark Owens played that as we were handing off with John and Hugh at, I don't know, 9:58 or whatever it was before we came on. And Hugh got a big laugh out of that. So laughing with him, not Adam, certainly. But we love the big fella, man. What a blessing it is to have him here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And, you know, hearing his stories about his days at ESPN, they always make me laugh. You know, there's one thing. You can't take Hugh everywhere.
No.
No, you can't. Yeah, you know. Hugh is his own dude, man.
He is my guy. I don't care how long he's been working here and has Hugh's World. Every time the intro of Hugh's World come on, I crack up laughing.
It's great.
Every single time. Every single time I crack
when
up
he, when he says, you know.
Football mode?
Yeah, well, he go, yeah, I'm still in football mode, so back up off me. That part right there?
I love that part. I'm still in football mode.
I love it, man. And you know what? Every day is game day. The game day cognac, Camu. All right. So, Randy, a decent little poll. I love a balanced poll. as we have documented this week. Right now, you know, the question is on my personal Twitter account. Which program made the most transcending move? Georgia Tech getting Jeff Collins, UGA getting Anthony Edwards. 51% say Jeff Collins. 49% say Anthony Edwards. And, Randy, to me, they're both transcending moves. But I think that the Dogs getting the greatest or highest rated recruit in program history.
Right.
I think that's more of a transcending move by a little bit than Jeff Collins going to Georgia Tech.
I picked Jeff Collins, and here's why. The thing with Edwards is this. Is he going to be the only one? And that's how
Good
I look
call.
At this whole thing is, okay, you got this guy. Well, can you get another guy? I mean, because I talked to Deshaun, and he knows more about this than me. He says he's a one-and-done guy. So once he's gone, then what? Can you follow up with that? Can he help you recruit these other players? I don't know because we've never gotten these guys before. We've never gotten these kind of guys at Georgia. I look at Coach Collins, and what he's doing is he's making it fun to go to Georgia Tech again. And that's how I look at it. And as much as I my disdain for Tech, and you know how much I have for them, it's a good move by them to get a guy who's bringing that energy back to that program. He's getting these kids that want to go to Tech, these offensive players, these Sunday guys. He's trying to get those guys in, and I think that'll make the program better because whether you like it or not, it's still football, and it's still in the South. You know what I'm saying? It's still it's still in the South. And I know – and Georgia Southern people get on me and everything. Georgia Tech's bigger than Georgia Southern, okay? It is what it is. I don't care if the records or whatever, and you can come at me. I don't really care. But
– It's in the ACC.
It's in the ACC.
I'm sorry. It's in the ACC.
It is what it is. So I'm talking about how he's going to try and resurrect this program and to make it fun to go to Georgia Tech again. I think that's bigger.
And you said it. He told us on Radio Row in advance of the Super Bowl at the GWCC that he's trying to get student athletes and you know get them ready for the NFL.
Yeah.
So it's not always going to work. There are going to be some kids that he sells on Georgia Tech, and we're going to get you to the NFL, and it's not going to work out for whatever reason. But it is going to work with some guy. But I just like the message that it sends because I think a lot of hotshot, you know, 4 and 5 stars here in the state of Georgia, they're like, I want to be in the NFL. It's my lifelong dream since I've been 7 years old, spiraling in the backyard with my dad. And which school gives – and I think people were sound asleep on Georgia Tech football as a path to the NFL. Now, Randy, is an offensive lineman or maybe a linebacker, sure, you could find your way to the NFL that way. But not really as a running back, not really as a wide receiver. Not as a quarterback, you know what I mean? Yeah. A lot of the glory positions, a lot of the high profile positions. I think people were like, "Nah, Tech, you're dead to me."
Right.
But now that Jeff Collins is bringing in in my opinion, a real NFL friendly system, players are going to go there. And help me out, but there are different academic routes at Georgia Tech, right? Like for a dummy like me, I wouldn't have to go take calculus and chemistry and all this crap, right? Do they have like a dummy lane that a guy like me could go into?
And I tell this all the time. When I was coming out, a lot of the guys that were recruited were on, you know, they went to Tech. A lot of the hype. All right, I know them dudes personally. Don't tell me, they can't get in. Don't give me this academic they can't get in, okay? Just save it, all right? And I ain't calling my homeboys dummies or nothing like that at all because they're smart brothers. But miss me with that academic stuff, please.
All right, was that a shot at Joe Hamilton?
No, Johan's my guy.
Was that a shot at Johan?
Johan's my guy.
Okay? He's my dude, too. I love bumping into him. Right. We talk NBA all day long.
Johan ain't no Rhodes Scholar, okay? All right? Johan, my guy. And I know he going to get on me for saying that. I know he going to get on me for saying that. Because I can say I want a Rhodes Scholar to get in Georgia and all that. I can say that. But miss me with the academic stuff to get into Tech. I don't want to hear it, man. I don't want to hear it.
Nothing but love for Joe Hamilton,
if you want those kids in, you get them in.
Nothing but love for
Joe Hamilton. I'm talking about Johan. I'm talking about my man Kelly Cam and Joe Burns and – you know, Dez White. Hey, come on, man.
Names out of him, too. This is great.
And I told them that. This is why I always, whenever I see him in the offseason, so I tell them the same thing. How you getting the Tech? always mess with him.
It got so shady in here, didn't it, ladies and gentlemen? Rick Hamler, Randy Mack, he's in for John Michaels. I do want to give some credit and give you a tease as well. Roughly a half hour from now, in around the 404, we are going to play Deshaun Tate's exclusive interview with Anthony Edwards.
Sweet.
How cool is that? I don't know what he sounds like. I don't know what his vibe is. I don't know if he's one of these poised beyond his years type of dudes. We're going to be able to hear it and make some of those assessments. Again, top of the hour and around the 404, we're going to hear from Anthony Edwards. And I want to give big credit to Deshaun Tate,
good job,
for getting that interview, man. I mean, it's very newsy. We just found out this week that he has committed to UGA. And, Randy, you want to talk about sound asleep on a program? Holy crap, was I sound asleep on UGA basketball until I found out they're getting Anthony Edwards. And, by the way, and you know this, they've also got a couple of four-stars. That have signed on for the 2019 season, 2019-20 season.
I'm so happy, I love it. And because here's my thing with Georgia basketball and where I'm at with it. Until you get guys like this, nobody's going to take it serious. But the thing about it, you just can't have these guys. You got to win with them. It's one thing that's why I get on Georgia fans all the time about, oh, look at the recruit. Yeah, we got plenty of recruiting things at Georgia. We ain't got no damn trophies, though. They don't get trophies of recruiting. You don't put that in the trophy case in Buttsville. I don't give a damn about all that. What you going to do when you got them? And that's my biggest thing. When Coach Crean, you got these guys, it's time to win with these guys. Because you're not going to have them long.
Were you mad at Tom Crean for kind of sort of throwing the kids under the bus last Saturday? Did that rankle you, or did you go with the flow in there?
I don't care,
do you think he needed to apologize?
No. Well, I need to. But now, in today's kids, yeah, you better apologize. They get hurt feelings, butt hurt so bad, just like you do.
Sometimes
I think you're a damn millennial.
Oh, shots fired.
You're a millennial.
Oh, I've got millennial sensibilities. Mark Owens knows this. He's nodding his head behind the glass again. Anthony Edwards with Deshaun Tate at the top of the hour. But coming up next,
at the end of every show, we have to get Tricky Rick into a safe space. Are you okay, buddy? You're good. You're strong. You're powerful. Apparently, the best way to describe the Pelicans and Anthony Davis situation is dumpster fire. But those aren't my words. I'll let you hear who said it next. Sports Radio 929 The Game.
Here we go. We're reading between the lines. Again, top of the hour. We are going to talk a little bit about John Collins, Trae Young. They'll be in the Rising Stars tonight. Obviously, All-Star Saturday night tomorrow. And as teased, Anthony Edwards' interview with Deshaun Tate. That will be played in its entirety in our next segment around the 404. Rick Hamill, Randy McMichael, Mark Owens reading.
And it's all brought to you by Right From The Heart and rightfromtheheart.org. With that said, let's give you a little bit of a tease. Really good interview with Tate and Anthony Edwards. Here he is talking about why Georgia.
It was a big deal because I know a lot of people wanted to see me play, and I don't want to be like everyone else and go to those schools, get coached by those guys, and just be another one of those players. I want to be somebody that a school's going to remember. So that's why I chose Georgia.
You know what I read? Georgia ain't got no superstars. I'm going to be your superstar.
How refreshing is that to hear, Randy?
It feels good, man. It does, because that was always my issue with Georgia, even Tech. How the hell y'all don't keep these young men in state? I mean, we were looking at something the other day, all the first-round picks, one and done, that are from this area. And you look at, like, damn, I know you want to go to Duke. Don't get me wrong. It'd be hard for me to turn down Duke, too. Oh, yeah. Georgia. It'd hard for me to turn down Kentucky and all these schools. But try to keep at least one. Because I think if you get one, you said they got a couple more four-stars, too.
Yeah, yeah.
That can lead to somewhere kids are like, hey, it ain't that bad to go to Georgia.
I thought I read on Dog Nation they have the number 12 class right now. And, obviously, we got a ways to go. Let me ask you a quick question before we get it back to Mark Owens. If Mark Fox is still – so do you think this is about Anthony Edwards, you know, all along wanting to be that standout dog? I'm going to bring luster back to this program. So do you think he would have gone there with Mark Fox?
No.
Or do you think that no. Tom Crean and you know, that whole thing, and obviously what a charismatic, enthusiastic dude, do you think that's why it happened?
I think it's because of him. You know, and he has two – I guess you can say, like, trump cards, like the big joker. He got the big joker, little joker. If he's playing spades or whatever, he can always go back to D-Wade, Victor Oladipo. And look what I did with coaching these guys. He can always go back. Even though it was so long ago, which it was, he can still point back to that because these guys will vouch for him. And, you know, and you said it earlier, man, what is the ultimate goal of most of these kids when you were talking about Georgia Tech football? The league.
Mm-hmm.
That's the ultimate thing right now. If you mean tell me, and it's different from basketball than football because, you know, some of these guys, they're not even developed yet, but because of the potential, they're one and done, they're gone. You really don't know if these guys are going to be good in the league or not, but because, you know, the league is short of players that can play, so many one and done.
Mark Owens.
I like how Tricky Ricky can take everything back to the NBA. You can take everything back to a game of spades.
So can John Michaels, by the way.
When in doubt. All-Star Weekend is here. Two-time slam dunk champion and Hawks executive Dominique Wilkins was on the morning show. You can hear the interview at 929thegame.com, and he had some advice for Collins.
Yeah, Vince and I have been giving him some pointers and some insight on what he has to do and how he has to come out. You know, the publicity level is
I mean, as you're on a world stage, you know, and this is a chance to really show them who you are.
And he also had some advice and some goals for the young Hawks team.
Well, the goal is to continue to develop, you know, and keep adding pieces to our team. That's the ultimate goal. And because, again, you know, when you have a young team like this, it doesn't happen overnight, you know. And so, again, it takes patience. It takes, you know, planning and continue to develop. And that's what it's all about.
And that's what Lloyd Pierce is really good at, developing. And you think about Trae Young, better than we thought he would be. John Collins, a little bit farther ahead statistically than we thought he would be. Kevin Huerter, mind-blowing based on the – and it's not just shooting, okay?
He can play.
He'll get a steal. He'll get a block. He will have a nice setup. He'll get an out-of-space rebound. I'm a fan of his overall game. He is not just a three-point shooter.
He can ball, man. He can ball. And I think in the 1 o'clock hour, we're talking a little bit more all-star. My thing with Collins is, you know, he seems like he's a real reserved, laid-back guy. And, you know, I think he's the tallest guy in the dunk contest. The energy, can he bring that into the crowd? Because the dunk's going to be all right. I mean, he's big dude, so he should be able to do multiple things. But can he bring that energy? You know what I'm saying? I don't know.
Can he bring that, as you guys say, that thigh out?
Nobody says that anymore, Rick.
Chuck Smith does.
Again, nobody says that.
Why got?
I love Chuck. You know, Chuck.
Well, doesn't sound like it.
Just because I don't make it funny, you don't mean you ain't my guy. I make fun of everybody.
I'm just trying to start a fight.
I make fun of everybody.
Here in the Pew Studios.
Yeah, can Ricky you imagine? Does. Ricky pulls the pin on the grenade, throws it in the room, and runs away.
I love doing that, especially with this guy, this media member up in here in the Pew Studios.
Please, no, we're not even going there. Because you.
All right, Tricky Ricky, help me tiptoe through this, make sure I get it all correct. All right, Pelicans coach Alvin Gentry, he calls the Anthony Davis situation. Now, the situation being LeBron wanted Anthony Davis.
Correct.
Anthony Davis wanted to go play with the Lakers.
Correct.
The Pelicans said, no, sir.
That is all correct.
So they asked Alvin Gentry, what are your thoughts? You know, how do you feel about this whole situation? And he had some choice words.
To tell you the truth, you know, this whole thing has been a dumpster fire, you know, and it's just hard. You know, for guys, you know, we want guys to be professional and we want them to do this, but it's hard for guys, you know, to go through what they've been through. And to be able to come out and be the team of that quality, I'm happy for all the guys. I just thought that they did a great job. Don't know if he left the building or not. I have no idea. Then he left the building. I'm happy for the guys that, you know, that played the game and we won. Guys, I'm going to talk about the guys that played. They did a great job. We found a way to win the game. That's what's important.
Media members.
And he abruptly left that interview session. So let me give you some more context. Last night on TNT in New Orleans, the Pelicans beat the Thunder with Westbrook. Westbrook had his another triple-double, a 40-point triple-double.
Right.
Anyway, Julius Randle and Drew Holiday were amazing last night. They are why the Pelicans won. So that's who he's trying to give dap to. Now, if you're wondering, what do you mean Davis left the building? So he injured his left shoulder last night trying to block a shot. I know, shocking, Anthony Davis, another soft tissue injury. I know, I can't believe it either. Rich Paul, his agent, was in New Orleans, and he... Anthony Davis and Rich Paul left together in the second half. He just left the team to apparently go get an MRI on the shoulder. And so that you can tell that Alvin Gentry was not happy with that. And I think it's a classless move as well. Be there with your team for the rest of the game. I mean, you want to talk about putting yourself above the team?
Uh-huh.
And so I'm not a fan of that.
Well, I'm not a fan of leaving, but you look at the whole situation. It got out of hand when his name got out there. But you can't prevent that when you're talking about Lakers. If it was a smaller team, I mean, Milwaukee or somebody like that, I don't think it would have been a big deal. Because it's L.A. and LeBron's there, this whole thing, you know, just went to another stratosphere. Anthony Davis seems like a guy that does not like to be not-like. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. He wants to be the good guy. Now, you look at the situation where he was in last night. Why are you booing him at his own? It's barely anybody in the arena already.
Because he wants out.
What's wrong with that?
What's wrong with fans booing a guy that doesn't want to play there anymore?
But why don't you boo the organization then when they trade the player, when he don't want to leave?
Because the organization isn't making this decision. Rich Paul, LeBron James, and Anthony Davis are conspiring.
The organization don't make a decision to move a player.
No. But they're being bullied by the Lakers.
It's the NBA. It's a player's league. All right,
I know, so the player is calling his shot, and the fans are like, "Screw you, dude! You don't want to be here.
Why are you
playing? The heck with you!"
if you're a New Orleans Pelicans fan, can you look at him and be like, I don't blame you? I don't blame you.
If I'm a New Orleans Pelicans fan, I say, good riddance. Beat it. We never won anything with you.
Okay. You're not going to win anything without him. He's the best player
you don't
in your
know
franchise.
That. What if you get Jason Tatum and Terry Rozier and Jaylen Brown and three firsts? And
Do you really think that Danny Ainge is going to give up all that?
Well, I think he'll give up some of what I just said.
But Anthony Davis just told you he don't want to be there.
Which complicates the matter.
Exactly.
And will Kyrie Irving be back in Boston?
Exactly.
And there's so many moving parts
to this. I look at this whole thing with Anthony Davis. What if he would have came back out of the locker room? Then he sat down and you're like, he's in a no-win situation.
He's in a no-win situation.
If he goes back out there, they're going to boo him and say, oh, he's not that hurt.
He's soft.
He's in a no-win situation.
You're right about that,
but the media guys, yeah.
People are going to walk away from today's show and say, how was Rick and John today?
This whole thing has been a dumpster fire.
I love it.
All right, it's Friday. What do we do on Fridays?
Clown around.
That's stupid. It's on the website if you want to hear it again. It's a Rick and John Week in Review. Sorry.
Oh, I called it Magic City Mondays.
Oh, my God. I can't believe you said that.
You know what will calm him down?
Ooh, did you lose last night, LeBron? Did you lose?
I just want to tickle you with that one and let it sit. Like,
and you just can't take it. You can't drag Kuzma and Ingram along with you.
As he wrapped up his storied career with NBC Sports that was going to accumulate. Is that the right word? No. What's the word I'm looking for there?
Culminate.
Culminate.
Yeah.
Don't short
culminate.
Yourself.
Culminate. There it is again.
Culminate.
All right, Rick, hit me, baby, one more time.
Our swinger lifestyle is about to happen.
I mean, that's the northerness in you that calls him Marietta.
The northern what?
Northernness.
Did you say the northerness?
Well, yeah, maybe.
Mark Owens?
No.
10:05:10.
10:05. Yeah,
and so you're so butthurt and selfish and narcissistic that you can't give a little bit of depth to Vince Carter. 3, 2, 1.
Ca-caw!
I love a balanced poll, John. And we have a balanced poll here. Have you seen this poll?
When we get back, Justin Fields wins his appeal. What does it really mean for college football? We'll break that down next on the Zook. On the Zook. On the Zook.
Wow.
On 92.9 The Game.
Thank God it's Friday.
Wow, that's pretty good.
Yeah, coming back on the zone.
Yeah, come on, Johnny Mike. Can I say something about the LeBron thing?
Yes, sir.
I feel like a butthurt media dude like that.
Guilty as charged.
Did he come to the NBA TV set and like he give a bro hug to D3 and Isaiah just gave you a pound? Or gave you a pound or something? And that's why, I mean, you just sounded so hurt.
No, I mean, I've talked about the awkward half bro hug with LeBron James that he did not want to do.
Yeah, that had nothing to do with this.
He got super shady with Vince, who's my homie.
He got super shady with Vince.
PB just told me that the Pelicans have parted way with their general manager, Del Demps, the plot
thickens. He should have been gone.
Coming up next, Anthony Edwards' interview with DeShaun Tate and much, much more in Around the 404.
Andy Bunker and the Bunker Mentality.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.